This is Sheffield Live.
Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. If your business has financial challenges requiring professional insight and solutions, Begbies Trainer can help. We provide advice designed to help people and companies deal successfully with debt and financial problems. And wherever possible, we will find the best solution that allows for active steps towards financial recovery. Begbies Trainer is an independent business rescue and recovery specialist. We're committed to providing a rapid and responsive service based on in-depth experience, professionalism and independent specialist expertise. Contact our Sheffield office or visit begbies-trainergroup.com.
We're open for business live.
Good morning. It's just after 9 o'clock. It's Friday. It's the 5th of May, 2017. I'm Jamie Veitch. I'm your host for the next hour for Sheffield Live's business and social enterprise programme, Business Live. And we're broadcasting live from the Sheffield Live studio above the showroom cinema in the workstation in the centre of Sheffield. We're on FM radio. We're broadcasting through the internet too. However you're listening, you can also download this program as a podcast later from the Sheffield Live website, talking about podcasts. Did you miss last week's show? Well, if you did, don't panic. You can get the podcast. And we feature Jay Biani. She's an employment lawyer and runs Biani HR Employment Law. She was giving you the lowdown on what you need to know in terms of the latest changes affecting employment law. Whether you're running a business or a social enterprise, it's crucial you're aware of this. So check the podcast of last week's programme if you didn't hear it. Also on last week's show, we heard from Terry Murphy, James Creed and Mark Musgrave. They're from the social enterprise Printed by Us, run in association with the Cathedral Archer Project. And also running an exhibition of prints at the moment at Union Street in the centre of town. Now, they talked all about their ethos, their values, their purpose, their mission on the programme last week. So, if you missed that, you can get it on the podcast section of Sheffield Live. Go to sheffieldlive.org, find shows, radio shows, look up Business Live, and you'll be able to download to your heart's content. What's coming up today? Well, we have an interview with the chief executive and founder of The Flow, one of Sheffield's fantastic success stories, a business that has continued to grow and to innovate. That's coming up later on. Before that, well, a few things have been going on in business and in social enterprise this week that it's important to know about. Interesting to hear that traditional independent retailers opened more shops than they closed in 2016 across Great Britain. According to new data that was released on Wednesday of this week, that came out from the British Independent Retailers Association, who are working in partnership with LDC, the local data company. And their data shows that traditional independent shops opened more shops than were closed in 2016 in Britain's 500 town centres, whereas the national chains continued to see a fall in shops. So independent shops saw an overall increase of 159 shops in 2016. And that equates to a 36% increase from 2015. In 2015, 117 shops were added. But the chain retailers have remained in decline with a net loss of 896 shops in 2016 across the top 500 town centres. So where has the growth come from? Well, it's interesting to look at the sectors. Convenience retail, so bakers, butchers, food shops and supermarkets, saw a net increase in 2016. Service retail, so health and beauty, tattoo parlours, estate agents, they increased by the greatest number of units in 2016. Other key growth sectors have been barbers, restaurants, bars, mobile phone shops and hair and beauty salons, whereas sectors in decline have included newsagents, women's clothing and nightclubs. Now, looking at the figures and looking at the analysis for regions in Yorkshire and the Humber, there was a net change of 0.39%. So there was just a net change of 26 units. That's openings minus closures of independent units by region in 2016. So here in the region, we lost 1,046 independent units in 2016, but we gained 1,072 units in 2016. So there was a slight net gain. Now, what's your view on this? Are you a user of independent businesses? Do you love going to the independent shops? Do you run an independent business yourself? We're always really keen to hear from you. Talk about your business. Talk about the challenges that you face and how you overcome them, how you engage customers. You can get in touch with this program. And coming up in a couple of minutes, we've got an interview with someone who runs an independent business. So stay tuned for that. But don't forget, you can get in touch with us, and I'm going to flag the details of how you can do that in a moment or two. Before that, what else has been going on? Well, HMRC's Making Tax Digital plan has been dropped from the finance bill, and the government has dropped several measures from the finance bill, including Making Tax Digital. Also, changes to corporate loss relief and interest deductibility, as well as VAT related to fulfillment houses. Now, this has really been dropped because of the decision to call a snap election. The finance bill was rushed through the House of Commons last month. But commentators say that dropping MTD plans has been a sensible move by the government. But that came after the Federation of Small Businesses and other organisations called for clauses to be removed or to be postponed. Making Tax Digital wasn't due to come into effect until April 2018. Doubtless there'll be more on that over the next few months. A report examining the network of business incubators and accelerators across the UK has been published by the Department for Business and Nesta. The report provides information about the services provided by incubators, how they're funded, and which sectors are supported by them. It also includes a directory of incubators and accelerators. We'll tweet the link to download that report at the end of the programme from my Twitter account, Jamie Veach, and Sheffield Live as well. The £100 million takeover of Tata Steel's speciality steels business should create 300 new jobs in South Yorkshire. Liberty House, the International Industrials and Metal Group, have completed their £100 million takeover of Tata Steel's speciality steels business. That acquisition is also set to protect the jobs of 1,700 existing staff at sites in Rotherham and Stocksbridge. And the company have also announced that they'll be making multi-million pound investments to secure the future of the business. So good news there. And don't forget, the FSB want traders and performers for their local teenage markets. We've mentioned that a couple of times. Those are coming up soon, Doncaster, Saturday the 13th of May, so very, very soon indeed. Again, I've mentioned that before on the show, so I'll tweet out a link for how you can get involved with that at the end of the programme today. Coming up next week, Wednesday the 10th of May, it's the Sheffield Business Show. That's taking place from 10 a.m. to 3 p.m. at Bramall Lane. It's free to attend as a delegate. There are about 50 local companies exhibiting and 10 seminars on topics like social media, business, leadership, content marketing and much, much, much more. Of course, Sheffield now has its own Google Digital Garage. That Google Digital Garage was launched last week. It's located at Barker's Pool, 15 Barker's Pool, Sheffield. You can make an appointment or you can simply drop in, and it's free. So you can visit the Google experts for face-to-face training to help you make the most of the web, digital and much, much more. Again, I'll tweet the link again to find out more details, but you can drop in, take a look, 15 Barker's Pool in the centre of Sheffield. So loads going on there. And if you're running a social enterprise, then Social Enterprise UK wants to hear from you. They've commissioned a surveying company to carry out a survey of social enterprises in the UK to find out what's working and where the problems are in terms of social enterprise. It's called the UK State of Social Enterprise Survey 2017. Social Enterprise UK say they want to work with you to provide solutions to problems that you have. And so you can get involved by participating in their survey. Go to seukSurvey2017.co.uk to find out more details. Over half of small companies in the UK would close within a year if a key employee died or became critically ill, according to new research, which was published this week by Legal and General. Now, that represents a 13% increase since 2015, and the research also found that 65% of businesses had some form of business debt. Legal and General's head of intermediary development, Richard Cately, has commented that a significant proportion of businesses across the UK are leaving themselves at risk from critical events. So I mentioned at the start of the programme today figures about traditional independent retailers opening more shops than they closed in 2016. So great news if you're a traditional independent retailer or a user of them. Now, last year I caught up with someone running a traditional independent retailer. That was Laura Bullock. She's a director at Seven Hills Bakery, an artisan bakery specialising in long fermented breads, pastries and brioche and much, much more. I interviewed Laura to find out about how she'd set up the bakery, challenges they'd faced, where she got advice, and much, much more. So it's worth having a listen to Laura's advice, and we'll hear from Laura now. Laura, good afternoon. Thanks so much for joining me today, and it's great to be here in the cafe at Seven Hills. And what a year you've had over the last year, in fact. 2015 was a big year for you.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you very much for wanting to speak to me as well. It was a very big year. We moved premises in December 2014.
Yeah.
It was the first full year with the integrated space, where now our bakery, greengrocers, cafe and shop are all in one space. So, yeah.
You moved in 2014, yeah. Having been established further down Chauvel Road. Mm-hmm. Much bigger premises and taking on, that you've moved into, much bigger premises and taking on a whole new range of products in terms of greengrocers.
Yeah. To us, it is a big space. But because we previously had a bakery in the centre of town that was in a light industrial estate near Devonshire Green,
yes.
I think obviously lots of people didn't ever see that, and so we were used to having a bit more room. But yes, having it all in one space is very different, and we took over Sharon Marrow when Nikki decided to sell that.
Yes.
It just seemed, it's such an established business on Charavale Road that it seemed silly not to try and keep it on. And it's fun, you know, the way that we work, we make everything by hand. We were already buying things from some of the suppliers, some fruits and vegetables and things to use in our products anyway.
So you had relationships with the suppliers at Nikki from Sharon Marrow?
Yes, some, that's for sure. Solid, I mean, we've learned, we've made more. But yes, sure, we use Sheffield Organic Growers already, Hugh at Hazelhurst Farm already. We had relationship knew a bit with Sheffield Honey and also Pumpkin Oil. So there were a few that were on Lembas,
yes.
The dry things. We buy lots of things from them. So it was kind of easier maybe than it might have been if we were coming to something completely cold.
Indeed. And you'd established quite a big following in terms of customers.
Yeah,
with the shop before, and yeah. I mean, I can remember enjoying your products. Many people will have done from that small shop, but as you say, you've now been able to bring the whole thing together.
Yeah, and I think people like Charavale has a lot of loyal customers that do their shop up and down the road. You can do a complete shop here,
yes.
if you so want, and so I think that we had a lot of customers that already went to Sharamaro, but then obviously we had some that didn't, wouldn't have come to us, and vice versa. So yeah, it was a bit, you know, it was a bit of a challenge. We knew that moving down the road, even though it was only down the road, would be a challenge to make people aware that we were there and remember. We still do get people coming in being like, I thought you'd shut down, I've now found you. We didn't actually go anywhere, we just moved down the road. It was quite hard to communicate that, because I think lots of people, you know where you're going, or you think you know where you're going, and you don't even necessarily, you know, look around. Quite. Especially if you're in the car, you just drive to a certain location, get out, do your shopping, get back in. And so it took a while to build back up. It's great. We have a lot of people, as I say, very, very loyal, but there are lots of us on the road.
Wonderful. And as you say, then people are coming here and using other shops on Charleville Road.
Absolutely.
Whether that's a specific trip down to Charleville Road or people in homes and businesses all around you anyway.
Yeah.
And you work and collaborate with other businesses here on the road too.
We do. Yeah, it's lovely. Like, we all get to know each other. And, yeah, we do some evening events with the guys at Starmore Boss, wine merchants, and also with Nicky Nicky at Porterbrook Deli. So we do monthly cheese, bread, wine evenings, tastings, and we buy products from both of them, especially to use as well. But we also use the hardware shop and the other butchers, and Jonty buys some bread from us. And so, yeah, and Christian comes in from the fishmonger. So, yeah, like we're...
It's a lovely community.
Bunch. Yeah, I think we just really appreciate that we're all independents. We're all trying really hard to do the same thing, really, to keep this kind of vibe going. And people, you know, customers really always really appreciate it when you work together as well, to see it's not, you know, competition can be a really good thing.
Indeed, but customers appreciate the collaboration as well, and the fact that there are complementary businesses and some overlap between the businesses, but actually all working together, it's brilliant, and makes it a destination as well.
Absolutely. Yeah. And especially us guys, we talk quite a lot about fermentation on our evenings, because it is amazing that even though, you know, you drink something, you eat, and you eat other things, that actually the process of how they're made can be fairly similar. And so you can get a bit geeky about how things are made, which is quite nice.
Fantastic. I can imagine getting really geeky about sourdough bread.
Absolutely. Yeah, it's always nice to be asked questions. I guess that's the thing about, we're always there when we do these events. So, not only is it nice to eat everything and eat some things that you might not have, or taste some things that you might not have had before, but people can ask us questions as well, because, you know, Barry and Jeff are really super knowledgeable about their area.
Yes.
And Nick and Nikki know a lot and have met a lot of producers of the cheeses they sell. And then obviously it's me that I'm actually here and I can show people things or talk about things. So, yeah, I think that's definitely a pull.
Indeed.
I hope it is, anyway.
Well, I think Barry is going to be on this programme in a few weeks' time.
Oh, that's great. And we met up last night and I was saying that you were coming in today.
Excellent.
And actually, I think he was like, oh, yeah, I need to book him in. So
yes,
that'll be really nice.
Oh, good stuff. Brilliant. Yeah. And so in terms of how you got to where you are, open the shop further down the road, first of all. Now, there must be something, well, there is something absolutely wonderfully tactile about getting your hands in and kneading and making bread. I mean, that's going to resonate with so many of our listeners. It certainly resonates with me and my family. I know how great it is to make your own bread. And I can see the attraction in making good quality bread that's not full of horrible ingredients, not full of far too much sugar, as so much processed bread is and making just really nice bread. Now, was the original shop born out of a passion for baking, a passion for bread, or how did it come to be?
Yeah, well, I mean, definitely from a passion for making food by hand in general, I would say, to begin with, because it's myself and my business partner Martina, and there was a third partner at first, but he left after about a year. But we all met at the School of Artisan Food in Welbeck near Nottinghamshire, and so we went there to do the diploma course. And we all went there. Most of the people there, it was their second career or they were retraining in another school. Just really interested in making things by hand, in the provenance of food, in making sure that, you know, the ingredients are good. And I guess that for us especially, and which we've strive very hard to keep up, is the consistency of the product. Because, you know, bread, I think that's the hardest challenge, day in, day out. And if any home bakers will know that just as well, to make things the same every time with a nice rise and a nice crust. And especially we try and make our breads look different and appealing as well. So we do a lot of hand moulding. We don't use very many tins. And so, yeah, we just wanted and still want to produce the best things that we can possibly produce, and hopefully that means that it's an everyday product, which we think is really important. And obviously it's going to be more expensive than a mass produced factory product because we don't work in those type of volumes.
No, quite.
Basically, and so yeah, we try really hard to source nice ingredients, to make things that we like, and that sounds a bit maybe a bit selfish, but that's kind of where it comes out of. It's like, what do I want to eat?
Yes.
Is, I think, fundamental
to
successful food businesses.
It is, isn't it? And that gives you the idea that I want to eat this and I can't get it anywhere.
Yeah.
And so,
sure.
Yeah, I want to make this. And interesting how you met in terms of the School of Artisan Food, and there's really been a resurgence as well.
Absolutely.
Knowing where food's from and how it's made, food and drink as well.
Yeah,
And local Yorkshire and British produce, and as, alongside independent shops as well. With new research actually that we have mentioned at the start of today's programme, talking about how independent shops are bucking the trend compared with chains.
Yeah.
So putting all this together into a business, it works really, really well. Fantastic. So you and your business partners, you started up down the road.
Yeah.
It came, as you say, from the passion, the wanting to create the food yourself, to know where things have come from. You took the opportunity to move down to the premises where you are now. Been here for just over a year and a bit. What's next then?
What's next? There's always next. I think there's still things that we can iron out in here for sure. And we're going to work. I'm going to work with some of the guys that work in the shop and in the bakery. I think we can do better with the cafe food and refine it more and make some more like bespoke items in house. That, you know, we try very hard to. I don't really want to rush things. I think we've always gone on the slow growth model. See how things go. See what happens. And so I think, you know, we're established here now. We're busy. People know we're here. But I think I'd like to start doing breakfasts and more like bulk, like cooked food like that. And also the evenings. I have a license to open in the evenings. So we've started doing these collaborative events that I spoke about. But also maybe to get in some other people and do some like pop-up nights, bistro nights. Certainly going to be working with Barry and Jeff. We can use the space for tastings because we can fit quite a lot of people in, and so I'm trying to get a premises license, and we're south facing, so I should really be putting something outside.
Yes.
But you know, like anything, we don't have big backers behind us. We need to make some money, save some money,
yes,
try and spend it whenever we can. And I'm really proud as well that we're going to also start. I'm getting accredited to be a living wage employer.
Super.
So
yeah.
That means I'm also going to do that in line with the second minimum wage increase that's going to come in April. I'm then going to step up to living wage. So really pleased about that as well, that I can afford to do that.
Fantastic. And that's a great position to be in, to be in the business, running the business, and be able to create great, you know, to create jobs that pay.
I have an amazing team of staff, and try really hard to encourage people. You know, I've had people that have worked with me, right, the first people we ever employed still work for me, so try and encourage it as a career. And there is lots of different avenues to the to the jobs as well. Like Ben, who's a fruit and veg buyer, he's just training to be a baker because he really wanted to do that. So it's really fun if, that people can see. And that's another benefit of us being in one space, is that the staff also know that when you're saying, oh God, don't do that, the bakery can't handle, you know, can't do it, they can actually see why it's an issue, why that's a problem, or and they can work together to solve problems as well.
Indeed,
which makes everybody feel better.
Excellent. It's, it's a team then.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And you know, you get to see, literally, when you ask somebody a question here, if they can't answer it themselves directly, they should be able to go into another section and say, how is that done?
Yes.
What is that? How is it made? And they should be able to find the information out from someone that's doing it. So I think that's also really nice.
Fantastic. Superb. Well, you've talked about challenges in the business. Is there anything, is there anything you know now that you wish you'd known when you started?
Yeah. I mean, I think staff, taking on employees, it's astounding how much time it can take up.
Yeah.
And I think that's something that, and speaking to other business owners as well, that you just, I don't think you anticipate or appreciate. And that could be, you know, one to now I employ 14 people.
Yeah.
And as I said, amazing. It's not the staff themselves, of course, that's
no,
the problem.
It's
the time, the admin, the dealing with, you know, holiday pay. There's a whole swathe of things that I think go hand in hand with that. That's no different if you're a small business to if you're a multi-million pound business.
Indeed.
You know, the rules and regulations
the
and
rules
what you have to do are exactly the same.
But a multi-million pound business may have an
people.
HR department, whereas
you are
the HR department as well. When you're,
and so I think I think that's a huge learning curve for yourself as well to learn to deal with people and delegate and be comfortable that you can't do everything yourself.
Indeed.
Like, I mean, it's impossible. Like,
and is there anywhere
you have
that
to let go?
Yes.
Maybe.
You do. Is there anywhere that's been very helpful to you in terms of getting advice or expertise or support?
I mean, to be honest, I don't take for granted that I do get on with people that own businesses that are so similar in many ways to me. I for a couple of years went to an informal networking group called the Lean In Network, and that I met lots of similar, well, like-minded people. I think our businesses were very diverse, and it's always amazing when you meet other people that are from a completely different sector to you. You all have the same issues, whether it be customer service, staff, supplies, you know, as much as they might be completely
different businesses, different sectors,
totally different things.
The issues that you have to grapple with.
Yeah, and so sometimes it's just nice to hear that other people have those issues and that it's not just you tearing your hair out, going crazy. So
learn from other people running businesses of perhaps similar size, even if they're totally different sectors.
Yeah, I think it's because it's really hard actually to find, you know, to find people that are going through the same growth as you. Maybe you might be like, oh, can I go visit somebody that will do the same thing? But even if they have been through a similar process, it'll still be totally different to yours.
Quite.
And the way that they deal with it might be totally different to yours. So I think it's worth trying to just talk to a few. And I mean, most people are quite open and honest about what they're doing and don't mind you asking questions. And you know, I think I'm not precious about the business. It's nothing secretive.
Well, a common thread that runs through this program is that people who we interview who are running businesses that are successful, and by successful I mean the business is where they want it to be.
Mm-hmm.
People often talk about the benefits of simply asking for advice.
Absolutely.
Getting soundings from other people.
Yeah, and not being threatened necessarily, that whole thing about competition, and it can, you know, it can be really difficult, you've all got overheads, you've all got, you know, everyone's got costs,
yes.
You've got your business rates, you've got all these things, but sometimes, you know, you, as long as I think I'm really sure about what I'm trying to provide people and to sell to people, and I try and make, you know, everyone, all the staff have the same mentality, and they do, otherwise it wouldn't work.
No.
You know, they have to be invested in what you're trying to do. And so people, you know, people notice that, and I think they, you know, they appreciate that, and it makes it much easier. And somebody else could be doing something similar, close to you, but they're not you, and they're not you, they're not trying, they'll never do exactly the
Indeed.
Same thing, because,
yeah.
you know, two people doing the same, making the same bread, won't do the same thing. One person will like one and one person will like another, and you just have to try and be sure enough about the one that you're trying to
yes.
make, and hope that people will buy it. So yeah,
well, there's a lesson there. It applies to all sorts of independent businesses as well. Whether people listening are running a shop or a cafe, or whether they're running, say, a graphic design business, and there are hundreds of graphic design business.
That's
but what
it.
You do,
it's
what
tough.
You do, and your customers are buying your expertise, and they're also invested in that relationship with you and the way you personally
yeah.
do things as well. So I think it's really interesting how that applies, and how it applies to independence.
Yeah, I think so. Like, you know, lots of people know people's names and know,
yes.
and they'll know other, you know, staff's names, because they might see them once, twice a week at least. And so, you know, you're gonna recognise people and their children and everything. So you might not, you know, you don't know them necessarily in lots of capacities, but you certainly know them in your little world and what they want from you.
Yes.
But yeah, I think it can be really hard. But
well, sounds as though the business has gone from strength to strength
mm-hmm.
since moving down the road, taking on the old Sharrow Marrow and expanding, but still staying true to baking fantastic individual bread as well. And what a year it's been, clearly, for you, and great plans ahead for 2016.
Yeah.
And I can recommend to listeners, pop in for an absolutely delicious cup of coffee, if you like coffee, or cakes, or food, in the cafe, and come and buy some tasty food. Laura, thanks so much for joining us on the programme today, and all the best. Thank
no
you.
Worries. Thank you very much.
This is Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. Business Live is our weekly business and social enterprise programme. That was Laura Bullock. She's a director of Seven Hills Bakery on Sharrowvale Road. And she was on in light of new figures that have just been published this week that show that independent shops and businesses opened more units than they closed in 2016, including in Yorkshire. Now, I'm delighted to welcome back to the programme a guest who we've had on in the studio two or three times before, Aldo Monteforti, Chief Executive and Co-Founder of The Flow. Aldo, hello, good morning.
Good morning, Jamie. I'm glad to be back.
Thank you so much for taking the time to join us today at a very busy time for you. As I mentioned on air last week, The Flow was announced last week as winner of the Red Herring Top 100 Europe Award. Congratulations to you.
Thank you very much.
So
it is a great award, yes.
Yes, it sounds superb. It means that you've been chosen as one of the most innovative businesses in the European business region. So what does the award mean for you and for your team, Aldo?
Well, it means a lot, Jamie. We have been fortunate to be on the receiving end of a number of awards in the last few years. We're very proud about all of them. However, Red Herring has for me a special meaning. It is coming from an organization that has been analyzing and researching the field of technology for decades, in fact, and have built a reputation for themselves for accurately charting and predicting the future of technology. And some of the companies they've identified in the past that, you know, turn out to become large and established players in the field. So their endorsement is a source of really great encouragement. And, you know, you need all the help you can get.
Yes, that's great endorsement. Well, congratulations, and I'm very, very pleased for you. And The Flow as a Yorkshire success story, doing incredibly well. In March this year, it was announced that you'd secured a £13 million investment, equity investment, to further accelerate your momentum and your global growth. So that was good news. What was the plan? What's the plan for that investment? How are you growing?
It is a very significant injection of liquidity that is coming into our business at the point where we are already financially self-sufficient, which means that we can entirely dedicate this funds to further expand and accelerate the global growth that in part we have experienced, in part we think is out there waiting to be fully exploited. The team currently is at around 80 people.
Yeah.
The vast majority of our 80 people are based in Sheffield, I'm very pleased to say, and 70% of these 80 people are scientists, divided into primarily three buckets. We have computer scientists, data scientists, and last but not least, social scientists. So it's a very technology-focused organization. And the benefit of this capital injection is we'll be able to double the size of the team. We are planning to move from this current level to 140 to 150 team members within the next 12 to 18 months. So we are very aggressively communicating to the outside world about the flow and about the opportunity that we offer to all those who are excited about harnessing the forces of sensors, software, and data to create solutions that we address to the insurance industry to make mobility safer and smarter for all.
Yes, indeed. And your business, for those who don't know it, is telematics. It's about safety. It's about mobility. And we'll give the we'll give details for how people can take a look at what you do in just a moment or two. Now, I was really interested to hear about the plans for, in effect, doubling the workforce from when you founded 5 years ago in 2012. You've grown now to, as you just mentioned, about 80 jobs, with the huge percentage of those being high-tech, high-skilled jobs. Here in Sheffield, you're employing most of your people too. So this is great for the city, investment into Sheffield, your own investment into staff development and skills development, and of course now your plans to recruit people. And the key question, I suppose, is, and this comes in light of a summit that the Star ran recently about the Sheffield tech sector and whether companies can keep up and can recruit the people with the skills that they need. Is it easy to attract people, to recruit people, or is there a skills shortage, which some people say there is? What's your view on that, Aldo? Has Sheffield got the skills you need?
I think it would be ungenerous of me to say that skills are not there. The skills are there, and they're there in abundance. We wouldn't have been able to reach a workforce of 80 very skilled resources to this date, if these resources were not organically available.
Mm.
Now, clearly, as we scale, as we aim now for a larger organization, a larger workforce, clearly, you know, we are experimenting some challenges. It is not easy. There is competition. We are looking, you know, we are talking about talented individuals who by definition have multiple opportunities. And as a result, we have stepped up our the ability to source these resources. We have recently hired a head of HR. We have in-house full-time recruiters that work with our HR leader to augment, you know, the funnel and
yes,
cast the widest possible net into the pool of resources. So I'm absolutely convinced resources are there. Sheffield is my experience as somebody who is not originally from the area, as you can tell, offers an amazing context for individuals who are willing to combine quality of life of the kind that you can find in Sheffield with exciting work opportunities and contributing to building a business that is serving the whole world. You know, technology built in Sheffield, I'm very, very proud to say, delivers safety, delivers smarter mobility to clients across continental Europe, We have recently won our first very large German client, a major German insurance company. Germany has always been a very difficult market for us to crack, and we have many clients in the United States, in South Africa. We've invested significant resources to develop a presence in China. So there is an opportunity from Sheffield, from a wonderful context that offers so much in terms of work-life balance, to contribute to a company like ours that is serving the whole world and doing it in a business that, again, I think is the unique attribute of the floor, a very rare attribute, is management-owned. Our company is still majority-owned by its founders' managers who are full-time involved in the business. And I think that's a great attribute because it means that the focus of the business is single-mindedly concentrated on serving our client. Sometimes when companies are controlled by financial investors or other parties, there can be some challenges, some conflict, or the divergence of agendas. And I'm proud to say that those who choose to come and work with us, they can find an environment that is really, really uniquely focused on building the best possible technology and serving our clients globally to the best of our abilities.
And that distinction of being majority management owned, you feel then means that the people who work in the business, in management, their interests as sort of majority owner interests, that they align there. That's an interesting point. So what a great success story and a trajectory you're on, Aldo. Congratulations on the latest in a long string of awards, as you say, with the Red Herring Award. Great to hear, of course, about the investment and about the jobs that you're intending to and are creating and recruiting. We understand that you've appointed a specialist recruitment firm to help double the technical workforce as well. So if people are interested, intrigued by what the Flow do, and want to see if their skills match what you're looking for, are the jobs being advertised yet? What's the plan? Who do people get in touch with, and where should they look?
Sure, absolutely. Jobs are being advertised. I would say the easiest thing to do is to visit our website, www.theflow.com. Flow is F-L-O-O-W, two O's, .com, and get in touch with Michelle Futter, who is our HR leader, and send an email, give us a call, get in touch. We look forward to hearing from people out there, again, who are passionate about sensors, software, and data, and want to join us in this journey.
Well, that's been absolutely fascinating to hear from you again, Aldo. Thanks so much for taking the time to join me on the program today. Congratulations on the award last week, on attracting the new investment, and on your plans for growth. Great news for Sheffield. And look forward to hearing from you once again sometime in the near future, I hope. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you, Jamie. Lovely being here with you. Thanks a lot.
Thank you. Bye-bye. You're listening to Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM, sheffieldlive.org, with me, Jamie Veitch. That was Aldo Monteforti of The Flow talking about an award that the business won last week, their plans for expansion and growth, recent investment too. Now, we talked a little bit about tech and skills in the sector. We're going to return to that topic in just a couple of minutes. Before we do that, I think it's time for a track of music. Let's have the Talking Heads. Don't worry about the government. This is Business Live, Sheffield Live, 93.2 FM and sheffieldlive.org with me, Jamie Veitch. Business Live is our weekly business and social enterprise programme. So if you want to be on the show, if you want to suggest something that you think we should talk about or cover, if you want to react to something we have covered, then you can get in touch. All you need to do is email jamie@sheffieldlive.org, send a text to 07904 272 200, find me, Jamie Veitch, on Twitter, find Sheffield Live on Twitter as well. Whether you're starting or running a business or a social enterprise, whether you're an employer or an employee, we're always keen to hear from you. And today we've heard an interview just a few minutes ago with Aldo Monteforti. He's a chief executive and founder of The Flow, a
thriving tech business here in Sheffield, which in March announced a £13 million investment that's set to help the company double in size, recruit 60, 70 or so more new staff. They've already grown to about 80 staff since launching 5 years ago. Now, question that I asked Aldo was about skills and whether he anticipates it might be hard to attract people, whether it is hard to attract people with the right skills. I asked that question in light of the Tech Roundtable, which the Sheffield Star organised, and our friend David Walsh, who is the business editor of the Sheffield Star and who has been on this programme, of course, as regular listeners will know. David's been a guest on the show. But David organised a Tech Roundtable and featured a number of prominent tech firms in the city. That took place a week or so ago. And one of the things that came out of that was that some tech firms in Sheffield are struggling to recruit and that there might be a talent shortage. So Sheffield's a thriving hub for digital, for tech roles. Obviously the Flow, but also companies like Sumo Digital, Zoo Digital and others have been experiencing success and growth. But some of the people at the roundtable said that it's hard to find candidates needed. Now, one person who's sort of pushing back that and says that that's a perception only, that the idea of a talent shortage is really about perception, is Effecto Recruitment. And their MD, Daniel Cossolo, says that it's all about perception. Now, this is really interesting. What's your view on that? It's Daniel thinks that many companies are taking their recruitment in-house, perhaps because they've had poor experiences in the past with recruitment firms, and that some of them don't have the resource or the industry knowledge to complete the task of recruitment thoroughly and to the standard that an experienced recruitment company would. And so they then can't find the right people, and they describe that as being down to a lack of viable candidates rather than not being able to do the recruitment process as thoroughly as, say, an external agency could do. And there's an interesting link here, actually, because it was announced that Effecto, Daniel's firm, a technology recruitment firm of which Daniel Cossolo is the MD, has been appointed to help the Flow to double its workforce over the coming months. And we've just heard from the Flow with an interview with Aldo. So that was that's Daniel Cossolo's view of the tech talent shortage, whether it's perception only or not. What's your view? Get in touch. Send me an email. Send me a text, or even tweet Jamie Veitch. Because I'm really interested to hear whether this is affecting your business, whether it's difficult for you to attract the candidates that you need, or whether you have a huge pool of people to choose from, or if you're working in the industry, if you have skills, are you in huge demand? Are you in demand in Sheffield? Can you work elsewhere? What do you choose to do? Get in touch. Let us know how things are affecting you. So on the programme today, as I mentioned, we've heard from Aldo Monteforti of The Flow, and we've heard about jobs that they want to fill, that they'll be filling, and I'll tweet the link to their website too. I've just mentioned Daniel Cossolo of Effecto. His business is effecto.co.uk, so find out more there. Earlier on the show, I mentioned statistics about independent retailers. Those statistics were published this week on Wednesday by BIRA, British Independent Retail Association, and they found that independent retailers opened more shops than they closed in 2016. So there was a net gain of independents, whereas chain stores closed more shops than opened, and there was a gain in independent retail in the Yorkshire and Humber region too. So in light of that news published this week, we've also played today an interview that I'd recorded last year with Laura Bullock, who is the MD and director of Seven Hills Bakery, thriving bakery on Sheravale Road. So it was good to have a chance to hear from Laura again. Now, next week, we've got some interesting stuff lined up for you. We've got Lisa Maltby. She's an illustrator, and she'll be talking all about professionalism. She's on the show next week. We also have a couple of folks who run a social enterprise called Right Tracks. They've been on the show before, Mike Thomas, talking about another festival that they're running. And I'm sure we'll have your reaction to some of the things we've mentioned today. What else is coming up? Well, it's the Sheffield Business event at Bramall Lane next Wednesday, the 10th of May. I've mentioned that at the start of the programme today, so I'll tweet a link out at the when I come off air from Jamie Veitch. And also coming up in May, 16th and 17th of May, in Leeds at the Royal Armouries, there's an event called Buy Yorkshire 2017. Two-day event, free to attend. They describe it as a multi-format platform for innovation, conversation, business education, connecting and building better business relationships. This event has come out of the idea of We Are Stronger Together from the Yorkshire Mafia Networking Group. Free to go along to, lots of interesting workshop sessions as well. Find out more at buyyorkshire.com. Details there. Also today, I've mentioned the Social Enterprise UK State of Social Enterprise Survey 2017. You can take part, seuksurvey2017.co.uk. Now, check your wallet. Have you got any £5 notes in them? Are they new? Are they old? Today's the last day you can spend your old-style £5 notes in retailers. You will be able to take them to a bank, though, after that, but retailers won't be accepting them after today. So if you're a retailer as well, you need to check whether you are ready to stop accepting fivers after today as well. And through until October, I think you'll have the opportunity to take old style £5 notes to the bank. So I think that's all for this week. We'll be back on air next Friday, so tune in then. But don't go away now, because next up on Sheffield Live is our fantastic folk music programme. Thank goodness it's folk. That's going to be on from 10 all the way through to noon. So stay tuned for that. Lots more coming up on Sheffield Live today. Radio and TV, as ever, with a focus later on Sheffield Live on Trump's 100 days. Well, it's 106 days since Donald Trump was inaugurated as president of the USA. And some of our reporters will be taking a look at that. So check the Sheffield Live Twitter account for details, where we'll be flagging up what's going on and what you can listen to and watch on Sheffield Live. Thanks ever so much for listening today. Thanks also to our guests. And thank you to our sound engineer in the studio, Sangeeta. We'll be back on air next Friday. Let's play out with a little bit of a track of music. We're going to have some Neil McSweeney. London Road.